about using animation with urban minority youth as part of community health education focused on health promotion and a STEM curriculum that was focused on health education, health sciences in Richmond. So, a little bit of background. We know we have pervasive health inequities. We also have equal inequities in education and academic achievement. And when we think about addressing those inequities, we need to think about improving outcomes in science. Improving science outcomes is important because scientific literacy is essential for innovation and for us to be competitive nationally. We also need to think about increasing diversity in the scientific workforce. When we think about where disparities and inequities in educational and scientific science engagement and attainment are, we should really be thinking about, can we develop programs that get Black and Latino youth excited about science and thinking about what are they learning, how are they progressing, what are they, how are they benefiting from these curricular approaches. So these are some, when I think of STEM science education in the classroom, in the P-12, these are like the obvious things. I would expect my child to be engaged in a learning environment that promotes critical thinking, that taps their creativity and imagination, that gets them to apply what they learn in the classroom from a book in a real-world setting. But the reality is, for children of color in underperforming schools, this is not what they're exposed to. This is not the way science is taught, if science is taught at all. So what's animation? Stop motion animation, which sounds like what it is, if you remember like these Gumby cartoons or making flip books as a kid, the stop and go pictures or images, is something that can help students learn scientific concepts. And SAM is a software that has been specifically developed for use in educational settings. And the goal of using SAM in the classroom is, we know kids today, they have a lot of screen time, but to pull them away from the screen and actually get them to engage with their ideas. Animation is also a medium that kids tend to find exciting, and it's something that we can use to help kids understand their world. Also, thinking about urban kids of color, this would kind of be a luxury, something that an under-resourced urban school might not typically have available to them. So the animation project was part of a larger project that was funded by the National Institute's Minority Health and Health Disparities called Nuestro Futuro, or Our Future, Applied Science Engagement to Engage Black and Latino Youth. Overview of the program. It was focused on STEM and health equity, health sciences within the context of an after-school science enrichment program. And we thought, how can the kids use diseases that present as disparities in their community as a platform to help them learn about science, how scientists think, who scientists are? For us, we set this program in a after-school program in a Boston middle school that is not just underperforming, but also serves large numbers of Black and Latino youth. Interestingly about this school, among all middle schoolers in the state of Massachusetts, when we did the study, this school had the third lowest science achievement scores. And believe it or not, in this school, during a given academic year, middle schoolers, which are grades 6 to 8, would have science only half of the year. So one semester they would have science, the other half they would have social studies, and this would characterize their middle school education. So they did not have adequate science instruction. So what were their goals, the goals of our project? So for us, I think a lot about what the upstream and the downstream might be. So we wanted to increase, we wanted to get kids excited about science. That was really important for us. Really focus on motivation and engagement, but also increase their knowledge and awareness of disparities in their community, and also providing students with a platform, with a space for them to really showcase their academic work. You know, some of our better schools, you know, what kids are learning, how they think, what they have to present, their achievements are celebrated. We wanted to give the kids a space to celebrate their work, but also to give them a space to engage in outreach and education for them to present to their community their ideas for the kind of change they wanted to affect in their community. In the long term, the goal was to increase the representation of Black and Latino people in the STEM fields and in the health sciences. But overall, we were really focused on exposure. This way of thinking about STEM and science, is not typical. We also wanted to legitimize lived experience and move beyond the traditional STEM fields. You know, when we think of STEM, we think of engineering, we think of bridges, we think of math. We don't think of health sciences and what that might mean. So that was important to us. What else? This was a curriculum that we developed. So as you can see, we had a foundations unit where we had a piece on health inequities, the social determinants and the social ecological model. We talked about the different scientific disciplines that were in the middle. So that would be biomedical science, epidemiology, and sociology, and the public health messaging, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then how do we go about infecting change within the context of public health? So with that as a foundation, we explored the four different diseases at the top: stress, obesity, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and asthma. And we looked at each four of those diseases from each of those scientific disciplines. So we all think different. We use different tools. We ask different questions. We have a different lens with which we look at the world. And we wanted the kids to be exposed to those different ways of thinking within that umbrella term of science and being a scientist. And the public health practice piece was where we engaged in the messaging, which is the animation that I'm going to talk about, all which accumulated in an activity where they showcased and presented their work in to the community, to their parents, to the larger school, their peers in the school, and after school. We focused a lot on conceptual understanding, on the importance and the role of the social determinants in health outcomes, as well as key scientific concepts. So how did we integrate SAM, or the animation, into the ENFACE program, which was that overall science ed program? So we used it in that piece at the bottom to get to engage kids in health promotion, education, targeting their community, their peers, their family. They developed a communications module or an animation for each of the disease units, and they did that as opposed to doing print materials, which is usually the thing that might happen in this kind of setting, posters, flyers, that kind of thing. And they specifically had to use what they had learned about disease, about inequities, about the social determinants, about the context of disease, to increase knowledge and awareness about those issues within a health equity framework, which was the underlying current to the entire curriculum. They used it as an advocacy tool, also as a tool to promote healthy behaviors. How do we use SAM? They would use craft materials, so clothespins, pom-poms, feathers, modeling clay, egg cartons, like all this kind of artsy, craftsy stuff. They would pick their materials, and they would take still pictures with a camera that was wired to a computer and create these really short animations, about 30 seconds long. Some of them were a little bit longer. They worked in small groups of about three or four, and they, before they actually picked the materials and started taking the pictures, they had to plan a story. So what did they want to talk about? What did they want to present? What was the message they wanted to share? Was it an advocacy piece? Was it a piece around health behaviors? Was it an information animation that they wanted to create? They needed to identify the message, the audience. They needed to outline the story. They also needed to explicate their different roles. If you've ever worked with sixth or eighth graders, who's going to do what? Who's going to be in charge of getting the materials? Who's going to take the pictures, et cetera? And what were the steps they would need to go through in order to complete the animation from concept to execution? So what did they do? What did the kids do? This is what took a long time to get up. But here's one of the videos from the kids.
Can you get healthy by immediately jumping over the building? It is hard. The tubes are clogged with cholesterol. I want to play basketball. Later. Switch. Now the tubes aren't clogging. The end.
Pretty straightforward. Move, lack of movement, not good for your heart. Get moving. You get movement, moving, it can make you feel better. And here's another one focused on stress. Again, these are sixth or eighth graders. They're really little kids.
This is the story of Rocky Lee.
Every day when he comes from school, he sees them sniffing crack or smoking weed. And he thinks to himself,
slightly different video, right? So here we're talking more about community context. We're talking more about the role of family, what kids might see in their neighborhood environment, and the reality that the kids at this school were incredibly stressed about what they experienced in their environments, plural. So, different story, but also about health sciences, about health inequity. And so, us as researchers, what did we want to understand? And we needed to assess what the kids were learning, if they were learning, and if they were learning what we were teaching them, could they apply these really abstract concepts and principles to real-world situations, and what would be some assessment modes that we might develop in order to do that? So to code the videos, and we had probably 30, 40 videos at the end with a range of really how usable or good they were and how complete they were, developed a qualitative coding scheme, and we looked specifically at the science and health content accuracy. So when they talk about cardiovascular disease, when they talk about stress, when they talk about obesity, whatever it is, do they have the concepts right? Do they have the ideas right? Do they have the science piece right? And then also their health messaging. What are they sharing? Is it an accurate message? Is it the kind of message that you would want to get out there for the particular disease you're doing some messaging around? And we double-coded all of the animations, which were, 20 seconds to about a minute, to make sure that the codes were reliable. And so what did we find? So how are the students using SAM? We found two things in particular that, as I think you saw in the second video, that they're really using this as a tool to process and reflect what they're experiencing in their daily lives in school and also out of school, and also to make meaning of what they experience. What does it mean? What does it mean for me? There were two themes that stuck out in particular, which was stress, which was part of our curriculum. We did talk about stress. We talked about stress more as we would talk about allostatic load and how that accumulated life stress makes you sick. But they also talked a lot about bullying, which was not part of our curriculum, which is interesting that they talked a lot about bullying and the relationship to stress. I think a lot of that just has to do with some other initiatives going on in the school at the time. We did observe that for a lot of the kids, just writing a story from beginning to end was a bit of a struggle, not for all of them, but for some of them coming up with a story. The facilitators who worked with the youth on site also observed some interesting gender differences, which is just an observation, that the boys were really excited to get the stuff and take the pictures and make the animations. But the girls were more excited about developing the story and what's the idea, what's the message, how are we going to present the story. Overall, we feel we were successful because the students were really engaged thinking about what we were teaching them, and they told good stories, and they told stories from beginning to end. But some of the challenges were the reality that this is a group of students that is incredibly academically underprepared. They lacked a lot of understanding basic biological scientific concepts, like the difference between the digestive and circulatory system, for example. A lot of the students were not at grade level, and the facilitators that we had hired for the after school were not brought on because they had a background in science or public health, varying levels of education, but not people with an MPH. So we had some who enrolled in community college, some thinking about community college. We did have two that had graduated undergrad. But that was definitely a barrier, thinking about them being able to teach what we wanted taught in the classroom. So thinking about how to use animation in the future, thinking about similar populations, that the lessons for the content and the lessons for the animation need to be very highly structured. Not a lot of open choices for the kids to think about what's the message. Maybe more a message on obesity focused to parents would be a better way to think about it. Thinking about the facilitators, their content area, background, and level of education, and everybody's familiarity with these underlying concepts, and whether that's an initial training that happens before the program is implemented. And for the kids, thinking about what do they know about biology and social studies. So in the end, we think animation can be a really powerful tool for kids to create stories, for them to be creative and use their imagination, which is kind of being chipped away in public education, for them to express lived experience, help them make sense of their world. And it's also a really good conversation starter. I think these videos and making the videos gave the kids a space to talk about what they were living, kind of like Photo Voice, what was important and why. Thank you. We ran this program for 2 years. The first year was a pilot year, so it was kind of late November through the end of the academic year, but we ran 5 days a week from about 2:30 to 5 or 5:30, so from the end of the school day to pickup time. The incentive, so that's an interesting question. So we offered, we allocated $100 a year per child to participate. However, the way that we allocated that stipend in the second year was based on attendance. And so we factored in doctor's visits, family appointments. There were kids who participated in after-school sports that would, you know, make it so they wouldn't be able to, you know, be on site. But we had, I think it was about a 75% attendance rate, and we divided the year into quarters. And for each quarter, if they were there 75% of the time, they got a $25 payment. Now, that was a change because the first year it was done a little different, and this is actually the second project to come out of a previous NIH grant where the kids got a very sizable stipend of $50 a week. And if you've ever worked with middle schoolers, $50 a week to a middle schooler is like a fortune. So, and there were some ethical issues. You know, you're talking about kids who are coming from poor families. Parents see that their child can go to this thing and they get a gift card. $50 in groceries is a lot of groceries. So there were some definite things that came up, and it did instill in the kids this notion that, well, they're going to get a lot of money for being part of this thing. And we actually changed the stipend and the incentive to try and eliminate that as a variable. We developed the, so I have a background in ed, so me and we hired somebody who had a background in curriculum and instruction, and then we had a master's level student who had a background in education and an MPH, and so we had the overall idea, you know, what we wanted to look at. We wanted to look at diseases in the in their communities that present as disparities. The activities were activities that we came up with, pulling a lot from places like the CDC, things around obesity, for example. But we actually developed the curriculum from scratch, but we did borrow some of it from the curriculum we developed from the previous project, which was a smaller pilot project, similar. The parents what? Yeah, oh, we had a lot of community support and buy-in. This is probably 4 years in the making. So we had support from a health center, from a school. We had parents who were involved. We had guidance counselor and other critical school staff that were supportive, and some other nonprofits that work with youth around violence and other things in the community that were excited. To work in a school district, you need approval from, we needed approval from Boston Public Schools, and we needed approval from the principal to do it. So we did have everybody on board. That doesn't mean, you know, everybody's on board. We all have ideas about being on board, and what that means can be different. But we were all on board for the project. Thank you. I don't have cards because I gave them all out. But if anybody has any questions, it's my first name dot last name @toughstudy.edu. It's pretty easy.